Man, you're drifting too far from the shore. And I hope you'll come back, because he certainly will forgive you if you get too far away. And that is a tremendous blessing. Thank you for that song. We're looking forward to the day that we don't have to drift anymore. We'll be in his presence. Amen. Again, this morning, as we get opportunity to fill in for our pastor as he's away from us, and I don't take it lightly, I consider it a privilege to be able to do that. I want to share some things this morning about another thought that I've had in a few months past, and I think about it all the time, and I hope you do. Just think about what Jesus did for you and I. I want you to take your Bibles and let's all stand if you're able to stand. We're going to read a couple of verses this morning from the book of John. I'm going to be in John again this morning, and I think I'm going to teach a couple of messages out of this area, but we'll see how the Lord leads here the next few Sunday mornings. But I do want us to take us over to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1 is almost a replica of what we read last Sunday morning, but we'll make a different emphasis on it this morning as we preach from this area of scripture this morning. I want you to think about it with me this morning. The title of the message of my thought this morning, as we said last Sunday morning, it was the benefits and blessings of the manifestations of Christ for us. Amen. This Sunday morning, I want us to think about the restoration, the benefit of the restoration that Christ wants with you and I this morning. As we read John chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse number 1. We'll read just the first 5 verses of it, but we're going to draw some things out of it this morning that I pray that will be a blessing to you, as it has blessed my heart as I thought about John's writing. Verse number 1, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him is life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Father, we pray this morning that you take this time and meet with us, Lord, and minister to our hearts and to our lives as only you can. We just praise you this morning that we would not be drifting too far from you, but yet, Lord, this morning, we'll come back to you. And God, I pray that you meet with us this morning to speak to us about the importance of the restoration that you wanted to have with us. And it is so prevalent today in our lives that many people do not understand the significance of this area of scripture and what a blessing it is when we really think about what John is writing in the words that he's penned here, that we would get a greater understanding of the importance of what Jesus Christ meant to us in our relationship with you. We pray this morning, dear God, that you would empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit, that you might speak, thus saith the Lord, and speak to us in a very special way this morning, again, as only you can. Do pray for our pastor this morning, that you would work in his heart and his life. I pray that you will raise them up, and we look forward to next Sunday, you Terry, your coming with him being with us. And I pray this morning, though, Lord, as we meet here in this place, that I'll be empty again of myself, filled with your spirit. Lord, forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you want said and done here this morning. May you receive all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And may you just use this time again in a special way. We love you and we praise you and ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. When I think about the book of John, and I think about John's relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ, the book of John is written because John is writing that he plainly wants everyone to see. And I believe we could go through the book of John and see the importance of what John really wanted his writers to understand. And one of the truths that John wanted them to understand, the importance in believing who Jesus Christ really was. And I think a lot of times today in this world and society and which we live, people want to always say, if God is who he said he is, Why do things happen the way they happen? They happen because of sin. It's not because God didn't do his part. It's because we've did things that were contrary to what God would have us to do. But yet, in spite of all of that, John is writing and he's introducing to them really Jesus Christ and who he was, why he came, what he came to do. And I think today, if we really would get a hold of these five verses, it's such an impact and powerful thing when you think about the deity of Christ and what God was doing when he allowed Jesus Christ to come into this world. You know, if you were to write, as John is writing a letter, we talked about letters and we talked about writing and how important of what we say and how we want to communicate with one another about our thoughts, about our intents. And we might write a letter to somebody. And John is writing a letter to those that would be hearers of what he had to say and listen to what he's saying when he's writing about whom he's writing about, because John wanted them, again, to understand the importance of their relationship or understand who Jesus Christ really was. And I believe today we live in a society no different than the society in which John lived and where he's writing, that people do not want to believe that Jesus Christ was God. He was God, came in the flesh. He had a reason for coming. And the reason that he came was because he came for you and I. And if we go back and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. It had a very significant meaning, because when people don't understand that, you don't fully understand why Jesus Christ came to this world. You think about a letter today, and I want to preface it this way. I remember years ago, a few years, it's been quite some time ago, that I was what we call in the military, I was TDY. I was temporarily assigned to Incirlik, Turkey.
Yes, sir.
And as I was there, I remembered when the mail came and the mail call that we would meet an assembly in the office that I worked in. When the mail came in, it was an exciting time to me. You know what was so exciting about that time? Because I got a letter from my dear sweetheart pretty much every other day. And that letters, or those letters that she would write to me, were so significant, because I look forward to getting alone and reading those letters and absorbing and just trying to meditate and think about hearing her voice, but understanding her thoughts. And when John is writing, I believe he wanted us to understand who Jesus was and what he had come to do and his thoughts about us and how he loved us. And God wanted to restore his relationship with us. And John gives us three significant things that we hopefully have time to look at this morning and understand that God wanted to restore something that had been broken, and he wanted to restore a relationship with you and I. That's why Jesus came. And I believe it's so significant when you think about going back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word of God is Jesus Christ incarnated to come to this earth and be a reflection not only of who God was, but he was to be the very words of God.
Yes, sir.
So that you and I would have no qualm. We would have no misunderstanding as to what God wanted to say, what he was saying, how he was saying it, when he was saying it, what God wanted to be done for you and I. Jesus Christ was the epitome of the Word of God spoken to us,
yes, sir,
from God.
Yes, sir.
Folks, you can't get any better than that. And it's not deep. It's just the simple fact that Jesus Christ was God. He was the Word of God. And he came in the flesh so that he could restore a relationship with you and I, because God loved us. And that's why Jesus came. And I got alone with those letters. And Brother Hall, sometimes, Brother Serge, sometimes I read them four or five times in the same day.
There we go, Pastor White.
I get them in the afternoon. I read them four or five times before I go to bed.
That's good, Pastor White.
Because I wanted to hear from my sweetheart.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I think we read the Word of God and we take it for granted.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
How precious the Word of God is.
See,
it's not just the written word, but it's the spoken word.
Yes, sir, it is.
If God's going to hold us accountable to him, and he does,
right,
he'd have to give us some instructions as to what we are accountable to. He gave us his son because we are accountable to God, because Jesus Christ is coming to speak to us so there won't be no dispute as to what God is saying, because he was God's word in the flesh. And the disciples was able to see that. And John wanted the believers to believe in Jesus Christ, because when it's all said and done, it all comes back to Jesus Christ. What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? This world can dispel that he wasn't God. But you know what? It don't change the fact, because my Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And was nothing that was ever done in this world that Jesus Christ was not a part of it. Because if it was not for him, we wouldn't be here today. Because he is the spoken word of God. And God is revealing himself. And John is writing to us so that we can understand it. And I don't want to misquote it. We all know it by heart. But when you think about what these verses said, and when we turn over to John chapter number 20 and verse number 8, or verse number 31, as we're going to reference it this morning, notice what it says here in John chapter 20 and verse 31. He says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believe you might have life through his name. That is what he is. And because if we believe it right and we get it right, the deity, the doctrine, and the teaching that's here in these first five verses, folks, if you can get that together, you can have life together. Because in him is life. And in him is not only life, but in him is life. Let me not get ahead of myself, but I want us to understand that Jesus Christ came to restore a relationship that was broken. When we go back to the Garden of Eden, when God told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to surely die. And they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually, and it broke the relationship that they had with God. And God in his love and God in his infinite mercy, in order to bring us back to the right relationship, to restore that relationship, God had to send his son to come and die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. And that was the only thing, that's the only person that can ever satisfy God. And Jesus Christ did it because he loved us. I want us to think about it this morning. And we probably won't get through with it. Maybe we'll finish it up tonight. I want us to think about three relationships that Jesus Christ came to restore. Not to restore, but three relationships that can be referenced to our relationship with God. Three of them this morning we're going to look at, or make an attempt to look at, when it comes to relationship. And I think about my wife and her letters that she wrote to me, not because our relationship was broken, but our relationship needed to remain intact. So I could have her letter to tell me how she loved me, how she felt about me. We can have the letter of the word of God. It's like a letter from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's word to us so that we know exactly how he feels. We know exactly how he loves us. We can know exactly how God expects us to live. That's going to be pleasing to him. And, you know, as John is writing, I believe John was one of those persons, as the Bible says, that John was in the inner circle. In other words, John was the one that laid his head on the bosom of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine the closeness and the relationship that he had because of the position that he was in? And sometimes we take it for granted. You know what? You're as close to God as you want to be.
Amen, Pastor.
It's not because his positions change, but because our positions changes every day. We have an opportunity to get to know him, and it's through this book.
Yes, sir,
you know, you think about it. In Hebrews, we could go back to the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews said, in sundry time, God spoke to them through prophecy. But today, God speaks to us through Jesus Christ. And he was the very epitome of God in the flesh. And everything that he said, it came directly from God. And John was just one of the few writers that penned down the things that Jesus said. And every time we look through the book of John, when it was read, it's written, it's referring to the very words of God. But the Bible tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of God's word is inspired by him. And so we're without excuse. The world is going to be without excuse. When you think about how the world feels about Jesus Christ, it wasn't because God didn't do his part. We're not willing to do our part. God has never failed us. So let me start it out this morning by saying this. First of all, Jesus Christ here, or the relationship that he wants us to see, is the relationship that Christ had with God. Look at verse number one. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Who's that it's talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God. He was with God. He is God. And so it's important to us to understand that John is writing to show us the importance of the relationship that Jesus Christ had with God. And it is so vital that we understand the Word. The Word reveals thoughts, and the thoughts that Jesus Christ reveals is the very thoughts of God. That's why he could say that I am the Alpha and the Omega, because the Alpha and the Omega covers the A all the way through Z. And every time he spoke, everything that he was exemplifying the very words of God. He was communicating to us what God intended for us to have and what God wants us to know. And we're without excuse. Because he's talking about the Word. The Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. That's who he was. We're without excuse this morning. We're without excuse. So we have to understand the designation of this important relationship. Is the designation of it is the Word. Christ is the greatest revealer of God's thoughts and the intents of God's heart. He reveals it to us. When you think about it this morning, and we look at this area here, and you think about it this morning, in Hebrews it talks about in sundries times, and when God spoke to the in years past, he spoke through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through Jesus Christ. God in sundries times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, have in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he have made this world. In other words, Jesus Christ is the very words of God. John 1 in verse 18 says this, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he have declared him. In other words, what John is saying in his writing, Jesus Christ is declaring God to us in spoken flesh and form and words. He's declaring God to us. That was what he came here to do. That is why he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is, and think about his designation. It was for that purpose. The duration was that he let us know that he didn't just come into this world when he was born to Mary in a stable. He was in the very beginning. He was already there. And most people today, they want to bring evolution into the whole thing, but you can't get it past God. You can't get it past his Word, because the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and that very Word was Jesus Christ. He was God, and he came in flesh to be a representative of God and his Word. That's what he came to do. And you know what? They can talk all they want to, but you can't get that past this book. Amen. He is the express image, the duration of his Word. It begins with creation. Christ was in existence before creation ever came into existence. The Word translated was, and this very verse in verse 1 and in verse 2, look at what it says. In the beginning, what? Was the Word. It has the idea of continuing, already had happened, was already in being performed. Look at it again. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The was is very important because it has the tense or the meaning of a continual action in past time. The speaking of eternity of Christ, how he existed. Folks, he always existed because he was God. And it talks about his dwelling. He was with God. He lived with God. He walked with God. He was God. And he came to this earth for you and I. So we see his relationship was so important to God. It was such an important because it talked about his deity. It talked about the absolute certainty of Scripture is because of who Jesus was. This statement here teaches us that the Word here was God. And Jesus Christ was that very person. You think about not only the relationship that he had with God, but think about the relationship that he had with the galaxy. If you want to know who God is, sometimes we just can go outside and look around. If you really think about it. He created all of that. The Bible says there was not anything made that was made. It wasn't no big bang as people who want us to think that it happened. You know, I just cannot get my mind wrapped around how could the world think that all of this took place by something just blowing up, bang, and all of it happened. It had to come from somewhere. Something had to exist. Guess who it was? It was God. It was Jesus Christ. That's the only way it happened. No bang brought it in. Jesus spoke it in. And you can go back to Genesis, and I love how it said, and God said, and it happened. And God said, and it happened. I looked this morning as I was thinking about it, 8 times in Genesis chapter number 1, God said, and it happened. Let's just go back there and look at it for GP, amen? You think that this guy just talking out the side of his head, because the word of God speaks for itself, amen? And let nobody tell you that Jesus Christ was not God. He was not a part of what was going on. When we look at God said, and look at Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was what? And verse number 9, and God said, let the waters under heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was what? Y'all saying it too low. It was what?
So.
It was so. And look at verse number 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seeds and fruit trees yielding fruit after is his kind, and whose seed is in it. Itself upon the earth, and it was what? It was so. Verse number 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmaments, and let the heavens be divided by the day and from the night, and let them be the signs and the four seasons and for days and the years. And it was what? Y'all ain't got to say so, but it was so as well. Amen. It happened because God said, look at verse number 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundant and the moving creatures and have life, and the fowls may fly above the earth and upon the firmaments of heaven. And it happened, folks. God created, and it says, and God created the whales. Whoa, look at them fish falling in there. Amen. Look at verse number 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth what? Living creatures after his kind, and cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth and after his kind. And it was what? It was so. And verse number 26. And God said, let the man be. Well, y'all got to love this one. And God said, let us make man in our what? Own image. Are we here this morning, folks? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're here this morning because it's so.
Yes, it is.
We might disappoint him, but we still here. Amen. Look at verse number 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you. And it shall be for you meat. And it was so. You know what? They can talk all they want, but you can't dispute the word. It speaks for itself. It happened because he spoke it into existence. That's why we can say he had a significant relationship not only with God, but he had a relationship with the galaxies. When you think about the existence of creation, and it didn't say some things. Turn back with me to the text. It didn't say some things in verse 3. What did it say? All things were made by him. Not some things, but all things were made by him. Christ did it all. And you think about it. And we don't want to live for him, because you know what? That takes some great power. That takes some ingenuity. You know what? That's a genius. Because it was no mistaking what God made. We ruin it because of sin. Not that God didn't know what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He created it all. You think about it. The energy that it takes. But not only the energy that it takes. And it says God created and he made it. The word made has the idea of creating it from nothing. I don't know how many of us could take nothing really and make something. We tried that Friday night, didn't we? We couldn't make nothing. But you know what he did? He took nothing. Brother Hall said, well, how you say? If you just point at yourself, he took nothing. Because there ain't nothing great in us if we really think about it. But because of what Jesus did, we can be something. Apart from him, we're nothing. So he can't take nothing and make something out of it. He took this old country boy and he made something out of him. Ain't a whole lot there, but what is there, I can't take credit for it. I want to give God the honor. I want to give God the praise for what is there. And if you be honest with yourself, you ought to do the same thing. It's because of what Jesus does in us. It's what makes us worth anything. Brother Ken ain't sitting there, but you ain't no greater sinner than any of us. I hope you're listening and looking out the window. Because we're all in the same boat. There ain't nothing good about us. But it says all things were made by him. You know what I like about John in his writing? When John writes, if you go through and read John and the book of John, John takes a negative and make a positive. He says, all things were made by him, but without him, there was nothing made. So if he didn't exist and he wasn't God, nothing else could be made. And I like that because one thing that I think is hard for people to understand, sometimes it takes a negative to show you the positive things in life and what we have in Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for him, there would be nothing here. You know, you can't even start a car without a negative post and a positive post. Did you know that? You can't. And John takes the opportunity when he writes throughout the scriptures to show us the negative. You know what he says that's so real in my heart today? He says that he that hath the Son have life. And he that have not the Son, what has he got? He ain't got no life. So if you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have nothing. Because he says he that have the Son have life. That's why John was writing about the importance of believing who Jesus Christ was. He points to his relationship with God and he's pointing to his relationship with the galaxy. You know what? None of that could exist. He didn't just die for the world. He didn't die for the entire world. And one day it's going to be destroyed. But you know what? He died for it too. Because it belongs to him. I want you to think about it this morning. He not only that he died, his relationship with God is important, but his relationship to the galaxy. You can go out this morning or tonight and you can look at the stars. You ever just stop sometimes and just look at the mountains? How beautiful they are. We live in Arizona. You can go to the Grand Canyon. And you know what? That didn't just happen. That's God and his doing. You could go to Mount Rushmore. They got their faces on it, but how'd they get there? Because he made it. Because of God. So think about it. And the last one, what is the most significant, is Jesus Christ's relationship to the gospel. God, galaxy, and the gospel. Amen. Well, I'm telling you right now, we wouldn't have nothing if it was not for Jesus. Let me just get it right this morning. Amen. I got a few notes. I probably ought to keep along with a few of them. Amen. I get excited when you talk about this beginning. Brother Hall, when I was talking to him and sharing the gospel, Pastor White, let me get saved. I want to talk about the beginning, brother. I want to talk about this beginning. How important was it? Pastor White, I just want to get saved. Okay, brother, just get saved. No, just kidding. But we laugh about it.
Amen, Pastor White.
But it was important to him. Amen. You think about his relationship to the galaxy, the energy that it took, the exclusiveness of this creation. All things were made by him. Not just some things, but all things were made by him. The world of unbelief hates this truth, because when you think about it, and it is true, whether they believe it or not, they don't want to have the answer to a God. You can have all the Scientology, you can have all the Buddha, you can have all of the whoever, whatever you want to have, but you know what? It's still going to boil down to what you did with Jesus Christ. And John is writing about it. Let's get to this last point, hopefully. You think about it. So the world hates it. The unbelievers don't want to believe it, but you know, there's no room for evolution in these statements at all, because Christ created it all. But I'm going to think about this last point is his relationship to the gospel. The most important information for sinners is the fact about Christ and the gospel. Think about it. In verse number 4, notice what it says. And in him was what? Was life. And the life was the light of men. So think about it. Jesus Christ is the remedy for getting us out of darkness into the light of life. Darkness. You know, when God told Adam and Eve, you eat of the fruit of this tree, ye shall surely die. The death that he's talking about is death and hell that will separate them from God. I don't know about you, but the scripture tells me that hell is going to be dark. You ain't even going to know who else is there. It's going to be dark. And the flames are burn forever. And the darkness that he wants us to get us out of is the darkness of death and hell and separation from God. Because in him is life and it's light. And that's why the world hates the light of Jesus Christ, because he reveals their sin. And they don't want their sin to be revealed, because the Bible tells us in this same text that men love darkness more than they do light. So he's light and his life. And in him is no darkness at all. I forgot my flashlight this morning. I was going to bring it. If you turn the lights off and I had one light, and that light was Jesus Christ, wherever he went, it dispelled darkness, and they hated him because he pointed out how sinful they really were. And the flashlight, even if you think about it, could illumine only a small portion. But you know what? That's all it takes is for him to be for you to see yourselves. And I saw myself in December of 1986. I saw the darkness that I was walking around in. And when Pastor Kraft took the Bible and showed me in the dark state I was in a sinful condition, in the state that I was in, I saw Jesus Christ, the light and the life that was in him that I could have. Because I didn't want to continue to walk around in darkness. And that's what the world hates, because Jesus Christ showed them where they were, because the Bible tells us that he was light, the remedy for man's sin. But life and light are the product of salvation, and a soul's salvation is all in Jesus Christ. The remedy is for our sin, but the radiant of Christ is light that shineth in his darkness. This speaks of the incarnation of the grace of God. Christ came into this world of darkness to shine a light of salvation so people that saw him could see their sin and get right with God. And you and I can see our sin in the pages of this book, if we be honest, so that we can get right with God. We can get saved, we can get separated, and we can get sanctified, and we can serve the God of gods, the heaven, because of this book. John 8 and verse 12 says this: Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And there's John with that negative again, and with that positive that he's pointing out, because that's the way that John wrote. The remedy in this relationship is the gospel, is the remedy of in Christ, the radiant in Christ. But also notice here the reaction. Look at verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Comprehended has, I believe, a twofold, as I looked it up, it's a twofold word here. The rejection is, and the rebellion. Rejection is, for he came, means to, that he was not received. And he was not received well. Christ was not received well. He was not perceived or received as being essential. It can also speak of rebellion. It can mean that to overtake or and conquer. The not here has the idea in this text that Christ will not be conquered or overwhelmed. The devil is not going to conquer Christ. It may seem like it sometimes when we look around at what's going on in this world. And you know what? You can reject him, and because they don't see him essential. When I think about it today, most people in this world think that they don't need Christ. They don't think they need God. You can take all the money. You can take all the prestige. You can take all the positions that you can hold in this world, and they won't equate to nothing. And people get in those positions. We don't need God. We got what we need. Really, they don't. There's most unhappy people are the ones that probably got the most money. And I'm not saying that rich people are not happy, but most of them are not. Because if you ask them, they just want one more dollar. But really what they need is Christ. That's what the world needs today, is Christ. And God did that for you and I. He sent Jesus Christ. He's still the answer. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, when we said that he's not going to be conquered, it says this. 2 Thessalonians verse chapter 2 and verse 8 says this. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. When Jesus Christ comes, the devil ain't going to be able to do nothing to dispel that light. When he returns to this earth and the brightness of his glory, when it comes, sin is going to have to go, because when he's present, it can't exist. And such a powerful radiant of light that he gives off, darkness can't stay where Jesus Christ really is, because he's too powerful. And he's not going to be conquered. It's what we're talking about this morning. So we have victory in Jesus this morning because of who he is. Who he is. You ain't got to love it, but you need to lump it. It's still all in Jesus Christ. He is the very words of God. And God had an intent when he sent his son to come to this earth to be the very thing that mankind needs. We're going to look at it tonight. When you think about the relationship that Christ is, the relationship that Christ wanted to restore. And then we're going to look at the relationship as we saw it this morning. But tonight we'll look at the response to this, how the world's reacting to it, and why it is so important for you and I to carry forth this light that's within us that the world might see. As we talked about it last week, God wants us, when we're walking in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And I believe today, with most Christians, where we want to still be in this dark world, folks, come out from it. It's not worth it. Our relationship with God is what Christ came to restore. And God has done all that he needs to do to keep that relationship intact. Let us do what we need to do our part to keep that relationship intact. Because he did it for you and I. His relationship with God was important for the world to see. His relationship with the galaxy to show us that evolution has nothing on this world. It's here because of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And the relationship to the gospel, who Jesus Christ is, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Because he died on a cross to pay for your sin and for my sin. He was buried so that your sin and my sin that he paid for was buried with him, can no longer be held against us because of what he did. The blood paid for it is buried and it cannot be held against us. God raised him from the dead, so he's the picture of a resurrected life that we have in Jesus Christ. You can't get that past God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John wrote that too. Because John wanted you to understand the importance of believing in who Jesus Christ was. I think it's so much today that we as Christians, sometimes if we be honest with ourselves, when we read the Bible, we don't stop and absorb what it's really saying. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. Them wases is in there for some reason. Because they were important. The Word was important. Because he took upon him flesh so that he could come and pay for your sin and for my sin. Because of God's love for us. And he is light. And he is life. And we can have eternal life. We're not talking about this life that you're living now. We're talking about the eternal life that's in Jesus Christ. It's in him and him alone. He put it all together. And think about it, he came down here to identify with our sin nature, to rub elbows with sin so that he could die and pardon our sin. There ain't a whole lot left of us, Ken Duffy. But what is left of us, it's all because of the grace of God. Where are you at this morning? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? We said last week, don't be a phony. Don't fake it. Get it right. You know where you are in your own heart of hearts. And I was telling young people this morning, you can do what you do and look good on the outside, but God looks at what's on the inside. He knows what's in your heart. And if your heart's not right with God, you can't walk with God. And I want to walk with God. Clean up the slate. Get right in your salvation. Get right in your relationship. Because he saw the importance of relationships. And God wants to have a relationship with us. Whether we believe it or not, he does. But it's going to be on his terms. And not on ours. And I'm glad it's on his terms. Because nobody else can hoard it. Because if they could, you and I couldn't get it. There's enough of it to go around. There's plenty of grace at the cross. Amen. Every gift, the gift of God is eternal life. I don't know a gift that's a gift if you don't receive it. So you have to receive the gift. And if you're the recipient of the gift, you ought to want to walk with him. And if you're not a recipient of the gift, come this morning and receive the gift because it's free. And God wants you to have it. And he came to restore the relationship that was broken. That's the blessings of it. And we'll see tonight the benefits of it. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. We're going to ask Miss Natasha to come and play a hymn of invitation. Where are you at this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know, a message like this morning, I don't do it any diligence. But I know the God of heaven can speak to hearts this morning. And not because of me, but because of who he is. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know, this will be a perfect time. It'll be a perfect day for you to trust him as Savior. You know, and I don't want to come to you and try to embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you. Because sometimes prayer helps us to be in acceptance of what is really true. Maybe you're here this morning, heads bowed and eyes are closed, and you know in your heart of hearts that you're not saved. If you just slip your hands up this morning, I'm not going to come to you. Anyone like that here this morning, you know in your heart that you're not saved. You know that you never trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you because prayer, God answers prayer. We want to pray that God to give you the courage to slip up your hand that I can pray for you this morning. Anyone here like that this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. All right. No one's looking. No hands around. Hands went up. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not walking in the light the way that you ought to. Maybe sometimes we've gotten callous in our own hearts of hearts to realize the importance of our relationship with God and what he's done for us. And I think sometimes even as Christians, we take for granted the word of God and what it's saying to us and the things it's trying to point out to us. If we be honest with ourselves this morning, maybe you need prayer. God spoke into your heart about something. We want to pray for you as well for that. Maybe you're here this morning and the thing that you need to do is come forth and for scriptural baptism because you are saved and you've never been scripturally baptized. There may be someone here this morning like that. There may be someone here this morning that want to become a member of a good body of believers. Maybe that's your desire this morning. God has spoken to your heart in some way, some form, some fashion. But this is what the invitation is all about this morning. For those things and those needs that we might have in our lives that God has spoken to you about. Because he speaks to us all in different ways. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to ask the pianist to play. And you respond this morning however God has spoken in your heart about whatever it is that God has spoken in your heart about. As we stand at our feet this morning, you know, I would pray, dear God, this morning, if there be anyone here that has heard this message this morning and may not have the courage that they need to raise their hand, that you would give them the courage to stand and walk the aisle and say, Pastor White, I know I'm not saved, but I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And God, if there be someone here this morning that has taken the callous route as to what the Word of God really is and what he did and what he came for and your love for us and how you speak to us through your Word, maybe we need to ask for forgiveness in those things as well. Lord, when we realize the relationship that you want to have with us, your relationship with your Father, the relationship that you had with God, the relationship that you had with this galaxy, the relationship you have with the gospel, how important those relationships are to you. They were so important that you left heaven's glory so that you could bring us back into the relationship that we need to be, that we would be pleasing to your Father. I thank you for your Son this morning, dear God, for what he's done in my life, and that I have eternal life this morning. And I pray there be no one here this morning that would leave without getting those things settled, whatever those things are. We still have some that are at the altar this morning that are praying. God, you know that person's, you know those person's need. There may be some that didn't come to the altar. You know those needs as well. And God, I'm so thankful that you're God that reached the depths of our soul and the depths of our hearts to know exactly where we are and know exactly what we need. You've never fallen short of doing exactly what needs to be done. We praise you this morning and thank you for it. We're going to close this invitation if no one else responds because of God is so good. Thank you for being so merciful. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to come before you this morning. Amen.